sir. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are anointing our Sunday school teachers today. You are anointing the ears of our youth. Father, that you will raise them up to be mighty men and women of God, to be leaders and not followers, to be anointed, and to be set apart, Father, for such a time as this, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, it's so good to have you all here this morning, to be a part of the service. I'm so thankful for his presence. And I've been ministering on present. It's just the most precious thing to me. It's just to encounter his presence. No agenda, but just to let the anointing of the Holy Spirit flow and just be our portion. Amen. So I'm delighted this morning. I'm not sharing the word, but this woman that is coming is a mighty woman of God. And you probably think I'm going a different direction today. I'm not. I remember being in a service a long time ago when I used to be in Great Cacapon, and there was a service there, and there was a man that we knew, a guy that was coming to preach, and I knew he was prophetic. I knew he moved in the prophetic, and I took a tape recorder with me, a cassette plate. I mean, remember what a cassette player is, a cassette tape. Yeah. Yeah, I took a cassette tape with me to record it because I knew I was going to receive a prophetic word, and I knew it was going to be concerning my first child. And he prophesied over me, and he said, I'm about to give you a child. And he said, you will understand it better in the days before you. I have no doubt that God divinely gave me this girl. And I am honored today to introduce our worship pastor who's going to come and share the word with you today, Miss Beth Smith.
I think I was trying not to cry before I got started today, but amen. Thanks. It's good to be here this morning. It's always nice to have the opportunity to share. I used to apologize for being up here, but sometimes even when you don't deserve it or think you don't deserve it or have anything to say, God has different plans. So yep. I'm going to share something with you that wasn't really supposed to be a message for anybody else. This was just something that God has been moving in my spirit and talking to me and working through me on. For those that don't know, I am Pastor Lisa's oldest daughter. I've kind of grown up being a preacher's kid. It's what I know. I was born into this, kind of. I didn't really have a choice to be a Christian when I was real little. You just were. I just thought everybody was. So I've been really blessed and lucky to be part of the family, the Hiles family, but also the Word of Deliverance family. This place is such a treasure, and you don't really realize it until you get older, and you know, you venture out and visit other places, and so I'm always honored to be a part of this assembly. There's truth here, there's encouragement, and this house is literally touching the nations, and so I'm so glad to be a part of that. But I'll get myself together here shortly. Maybe. So I just wanted to kind of share a little bit of my story and my testimony and why I'm sharing some of the things that I'm sharing today. But I kind of pride myself in being an independent person. Does anybody else pride independence? Okay. Self-sufficiency. I don't mind being by myself. If I can do it myself, I will. But sometimes independence can lead to some not so happy places. And so we can become very lonely. And that was something that I was kind of struggling with, you know, growing up being a preacher's kid. And I was prophesied a lot as a child and a teenager about my anointing and my ability and what I was going to do when I grew up. And I kind of formed my own opinion or my own thoughts as to how I was going to accomplish that, you know. I know I'm talented in music. It's one of the only things I think I'm good at. But I knew that that was always a strong suit in my life. And so I always pursued that. I'm a music teacher. I play worship every Sunday. And so for a long time, I thought that that was my calling, that I was going to write music and sing in front of people. And that was what I was created for. Only when you don't see those things happening, you start to question. And then not only question why, but you question, or at least I did, question God for, okay, well, you said this, why isn't it happening? And if you are, if you be, why is this not happening for me? And so I was really frustrated, and probably about the time that I got pregnant with Indy, something happens to you when you become a mother. You learn this whole new capacity to love people and to want to care for them and nurture them and make sure that they are successful. And in that, I felt really successful in my personal life, you know, being a mother and working, but I wasn't being fulfilled. You know, there was that happy spot in my heart that, like, I should be happy. Look at all of these things. Look at all of these blessings. And yet, I felt a little bit empty. And so I kind of withdrew myself. And so my message today is called Independence is Not a Virtue. And I heard a lady say this while I was scrolling through my phone, so I can't take credit for that title. But if if it's on the internet, right, it counts. It's mine. But it really struck a chord with me, and I was kind of angry because I'm good at being independent, and I'm, you know, like, I'm getting things done. Why is independence not a virtue, you know? And so a virtue, by definition, is a moral excellence, goodness, and righteousness. And so we very often hear about the seven deadly sins or the, you know, those deadly virtues. And so I was studying, and God said, but you know, I gave the fruits of the Spirit. I gave you the seven holy virtues in, you know, as a solution to those, because God always has a solution. That's one of my favorite things about God, is you can go to him and he has a solution for your problem. So our contrary virtues, number one is pride, a high opinion of oneself over others. Greed, excessive desire for wealth or possessions. Wrath, fierce anger, resentful indignation. Envy, feeling discontent with regard to another's advantage. Lust, intense desire. Gluttony, excessive eating or drinking. And sloth, habitual laziness. But for every contrary virtue, he gives us a holy virtue. So for pride, he gives us prudence, which is wise in practical affairs and providing for the future. I know that God and Jesus are holy, and they are to be exalted. But sometimes I need a more practical approach to everyday life. I think sometimes when we talk to new believers or even those who are in our congregation about, you know, those things that, well, I just lost my train of thought. That's okay. That's all right. I'm going to move on. Number two, greed. He gives us justice, which is the righteous, moral, and equitable. Temperance for wrath, which is moderation and self-restraint. For envy, he gives us fortitude, which is mental and emotional strength. For lust, he gives us faith, the confidence and trust, belief even without proof. For gluttony, he gives us hope, the feeling that the best will happen. So sometimes when we're searching for those things that don't give us nutritional value, He gives us that hope. And for sloth, he gives us charity, a generous action to aid those in need. And I find it funny that they're like the exact opposite, you know? We were created for connection. God created us in his own image. Genesis 1:27 was my first scripture. And it said, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so his desire was not for us to be these independent beings walking around on the earth. He created us with the intention that we were dependent on him. So getting back to my story, I was a little bit sad when I kind of, well, I don't want to say sad, just kind of moved in a different direction when I felt like God really moved me from wanting or desiring to be, you know, out on tour and writing music and all of those things. And he basically just showed me that I'm a worshiper, you know, this is what I was created to do. And not just worshiping on the stage, you know, music is a big part of that, but worship is much more than just the slow songs or what we do Sunday before we get into the word. I often say, you know, my mom has always said this, but your speech and your actions should betray you. When someone encounters you out in the real world, there should be something about us that people are like, man, you know, I want her joy. I want what she has. And the good thing is that it's for everyone, you know? So I started thinking about how do we become more dependent on God, you know, because I'm an independent person and I felt like I had put a lot of distance between us, because that's what happens is you start relying on yourself to make things work. And when they don't work, we get really frustrated. And I was kind of in that place where I was stagnant in that I was really upset and I could no longer do it for myself. And about a year ago, I had a very quiet but really big encounter with the Lord. It kind of blindsided me. I was in a lot of physical pain. I was having some trouble with my neck and my shoulder. Some life things weren't working out or going the way that I had thought. And I was just really upset. And a lot of the times when you're, I think, in ministry or part of ministry family, you don't share a lot of your struggles. Number one, and maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but number one, you don't want to look weak in front of the congregation, because who's going to trust somebody that is struggling? And so I would keep things to myself. But what that does, it hardens your heart. And you're not able to hear not only from God, but you're not able to hear what other people are trying to pour into your life. And not only is God, we are to be dependent on God, but we are the body. We need each other. It is important. Church community is important, because when I need something, when my spirit or my soul is longing, these are the people that we connect with. You know, I'm so supportive of a local church, because there are people here that can help you. And if they can't, they know where to take you. They know to get you to Jesus. We have some powerful people in here. And that doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, doing the Jericho walk around the church, or if you want to, great. But in that encounter with the Lord that I had, it was so quiet. I mean, I was talking to people like, I don't know what happened. I just feel different. I'm happier. And I don't know why. I do know why. There was a huge shift. And it became apparent that it was my thinking and my ways. And it's a little hard sometimes to take accountability for your actions. and place blame outside of yourself or place blame on other people and say, well, this wouldn't have happened if so-and-so wouldn't have said this or if this situation didn't happen. It's, you know, my luck. It's just my luck. But we have more than luck, you know? And so I began to really say, okay, Lord, I'm going to commit to spending time with you. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to commit to spending time with you. I'm going to spend time with you in the morning, reading some scripture. I'm going to spend time with you listening to worship music while I get ready for school. And I just committed to being present. And I can't tell you how much he has revealed and how much peace has been inserted into my life. I still don't know what I'm supposed to do, but it's okay. I trust him and I have faith that he had it figured out before I even asked. He's got this whole thing figured out. He didn't need my help with plan A. John 15:5 is another scripture that I had. Oh, do we have tissues? Okay. Excuse me. I didn't get the pretty crier, Jean. Yes, you did. But this is John 15:5, and it says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it doesn't matter how much I try, or try and figure out the why. If it's not God-centered, and if it's not something that he has already planned in my life, it's not going to bear fruit. It's not. Another scripture that I had was Matthew 11, verse 29. And I really like this scripture because at first I didn't get the first line. But it says, take my yoke upon you. And I thought, well, if I'm already yoked with a lot of stuff, why would you put your yoke on me? But essentially what's happening here is we're switching. Because we can't do anything apart from him, right? We are dependent on him. You can't yoke one oxen. Well, you can, but is it going to work? No, there needs to be two. And so what God is saying is, I'm going to take that because I can handle it, and I'm going to give you my easy yoke. It's important that we are dependent on Christ. When taken to extremes, independence can lead to anxiety, can lead to burnout, can lead to loneliness, stress. I mean, you will physically feel the effects of being lonely and depressed. Headaches, you know, sleeping all the time. It's a lot. It's a big toll on your body. John 5:19. It says, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So he will always be about his Father's business. Whether you get it or not, whether you see the big picture, it's important to depend on him and have faith, because out of your faith is what produces the fruit. It's not your actions sometimes. Although I do feel like when God tells us to do something, he gives us the ingredients, not the finished product, right? He will never leave you. You just might have to build it a little bit first and walk in it. So how do we become more dependent on God? And these are just a couple things that have worked in my life, so I wanted to share them with you. Number one is being vulnerable in prayer. Just talk to him like you would normally talk to a friend. You don't have to be holy, you know, thys and these and thous. Just be vulnerable, be yourself, because he knows your heart anyway. Do not put on a facade or an act. The second thing is build or become part of a healthy Christian community church. These people are so encouraging. You know, we have each other's backs. We do things that encourage our youth. We do things that are, you know, uplifting. And so if you're not a part of a healthy Christian community church, that's one way to become more dependent. Number three, study the word and maybe start in the Gospels. I always say like the old covenant is like the prequel. So if you can get coming to Jesus and that, then you can kind of go back and then you can kind of see the fulfillment of those things in the Gospels. Number four, learn to serve others and be generous. That doesn't mean financially. Learning to serve people looks a lot different. Depending on where you are, you can learn to serve people at your job, you know, talking to people there who need it. Or sometimes in serving others, you learn that they are also serving a purpose in your life. So I would encourage you to be a servant and be very generous with that, because those seeds that you plant, you're going to get to see that come back. Number five, practice humility and learn to take responsibility for your choices. That's one I'm still working on. It's hard to admit when you're wrong, but there's so much freedom when you can just give it to the Lord and not feel like you're chained to it, just like him dragging you along. You know, you can be free from it and say, you know, maybe I made these choices in the past, but today's a new day, and from here on out, I'm going to walk, and I'm going to do what the Lord has called me to do. Number six, build your faith and share what God has done for you. Ask him for some big things. Ask him for some small things, and watch and look for those things. I have been doing that very intentionally lately, just praying for something little and trying to hold on to that. And then later finding out, oh, well, there it is. You know, God hears every thought, every word, whether we say it out loud or not. He is there always. Number seven, limit distractions. Is what you're putting time and effort into producing any value? We are a culture that loves to be entertained. The entertainment industry in this country is the number one industry moneymaker. Entertainment. And most of it's a lie. You know? So I would encourage you that whatever that you're feasting on or whatever that you're watching or whatever it is that you're doing, people you're hanging out with, is it fruitful? Is it adding value? Not to just yourself, but to the kingdom. You know, there aren't necessarily things that are sinful, but is it good for our mind? Is it good for our heart or spirit? You know, I'm just not willing to chance that much anymore. I'd rather have peace than 5 minutes of fun, you know? So again, another hard one, limiting distractions. And the last one, count your blessings and be grateful. Just wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for another day to try. Thank you for another day that I get to wake up and see my babies. You know, we take so many things for granted. You know, we have very American church. And the cry of my heart has just been, to, Lord, let me see all those little blessings that I've taken for granted for so long. You know, I have a beautiful family. We don't want for anything. I have a supportive husband. My parents are still here and a huge part of my life. I have friends. Not everybody can say that, you know? I took that for granted for a very long time. My Uncle Monty, yeah. Do you know what's really sweet? I will tell you a story. No, it's a good one. He knows this one. But kids pick up a lot. And one thing that I've really enjoyed this year on our way to school is I've gotten to talk to the girls a lot about scripture, and it's my time to kind of answer questions, and sometimes I don't know the answer, but I like to see how their brain is working. And Indy, my littlest, has bad dreams sometimes. And so I thought it was one of her little Tonys, spin, spidey, whatever. So we put it up, and we talked about how you pray, you know, that ask Jesus not to give you bad dreams. And she knows all that. Well, she had a bad dream one night, and she said she got arrested. She had to go to jail. And I was like, good Lord, what did you do? And she said, well, I didn't have my seatbelt on, and the cops took me to jail. And I said, oh, okay. She said, but Uncle Monty, he was there. He bailed her out. And then a couple weeks ago, I ended up taking her to the emergency room because I thought she either had appendicitis or, you know, something was going on. She was just, like, doubled over in pain, screaming, and I'm, you know, trying to figure out how to get the big kids to school and just chaos. And so Georgia, I'm like, Georgia, text Daddy, let him know what's going on. You know, because at the time, I don't know what's going to happen. Just let me get to the hospital and they can transport. So I'm like, Georgia, text Daddy, you know, text the babysitter, text Grandma Laura. And Indy says, did you tell Nana? And I said, yeah, baby. I told Nana. And she said, did she pray? And I said, yeah, honey, she's praying. She said, well, I didn't hear her. Call her. So on the way to the hospital, we had to call. And Nana had to pray for her out loud because she knows that when Nana prays, things happen, you know? And so I was so blessed by that even in my shortcomings sometimes, or me not knowing that I can, that she has people, number one, that she can go to, but two, that I hope that I have instilled in her, if I can't figure this out, somebody has you. God has you. You can always go to the Father, even if your mom doesn't know. You know, I've really been thinking about Pap, and one of the things he said was to know God for yourself. And that has never been more important to me than these days. It's because your relationships in life, those are your blessings. That is where the value is. Being able to impart and be dependent on God and not being by yourself and thinking that you have to do it all. Because you will get to a point, I got to a point where I felt like I was drowning, but I couldn't tell anybody because I didn't tell anybody, you know, when the first thing happened or, you know, when I felt like this. And then it builds up over time. And you feel stuck. But thank God that he meets us where we are. He puts people in our lives. He is our best friend. And we are completely dependent on him. I have a couple more scriptures. Psalms 121, 1 through 8. It says, I will lift mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over you, over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. That word preserve means keep alive or make lasting. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. I love that. Once we commit to our salvation, God's promise is to keep and preserve us. The other scripture I had was Psalm 62, verse 5 through 8. This is my favorite one. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Selah. Amen. That wasn't very long at all. But I hope I encouraged you. I hope I wasn't too sad. But be generous this week. Look for God. Talk to him. Be vulnerable. He knows exactly what you're going through. He created you in whatever weird, quirky way you are. And the more you learn to embrace it, the more he's able to fulfill his purpose in your life that he's already put in there. You're just kind of now matching that purpose. Amen. Well, I conned my mom into singing a song with me this morning. Watch us cry through this one, too. Yeah. She used to sing this when I was a little girl, so I learned it on piano, so we're going to sing it.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. I love it. Amen. If you know this song, sing it with us. It's been a minute.
Somehow forgotten that you are faced with circumstances that you can't get through. right now it seems that there's no way out. And you're going under. But God's proven time and time again that He'll take care of you. And He'll do it again. You just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Well, hasn't He always come through for you? Well, He's the same now as then. God knows the things that you're going through. He knows how you're hurting. You know He knows just how your heart has been broken into.
Sing it, girl.
But He's the God of the stars, the sun, and the sea. And He is your Father. He can calm the storm, and He'll find some way to fix this for you. Just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Well, hasn't He always come through for you?
Well, He's the same now as then.
Well, hasn't same now as then. Oh, you may not know how, you may not know where, but you'll do it again. Oh, you may not know how, and you may not know where,
you may not know where.
Oh,
when she's singing that song, the Lord just really spoke to me and said, just like Moses, just like Daniel, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he did not take them out of the circumstances and situation Amen. They were in. He took them through it. He took them over it. When the floods came, he didn't get scared. He just rose with the waters. When the fires hit Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, you know what? There's a fourth man in the fire. He's likened to the Son of God. All the fire did was burn away all that stuff, and when they came out the other side, victorious. You know, each of those situations, he was there. When Daniel was in the lion's den, he just shut the mouth of the lion. So many times we think that God's just going to miraculously take us out of the circumstance. That's a miracle he can do easily. It's taking us through that, through the burning fire, through the mouth of the lion, and bringing us out on the other side stronger. We can do this. You know, whatever the Lord is speaking to you, whatever he's bringing you through, know that he is going to bring you out stronger and more victorious. I just talked to somebody the other day who's really struggling, and I said, you know what? He said, it's just devastation on every side. And I said, think about a forest fire. You want to think about devastation. It just looks like it's wiped out all life. It's just wiped out everything. But you give it a couple of months and the green grass is starting to poke through and the trees are coming back and the animals are returning and you hear the sound of life singing. So just hang in there. If you're going through something, hang in there because he's hanging in there right with you.
Man, all the children can come up and sing.